You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
This morning. Welcome to worship.
Thank you.
Well, we will continue with some announcements today. When my sermon begins, I'll try to remember before we do that, because there is a set plan for to do activities and things downstairs. So that will be right before the sermon. Also, next Sunday there will be no coffee hour by the youth. I will have coffee made for you, but the youth are on a ski trip, so we will have just my plain, boring coffee. It won't be anything special. So that's next Sunday. We are still in need of nursery and sound booth volunteers. If anyone would like to help out with that, please let Sherry know. And if you're a little bit afraid of the sound booth, we will train you, and we will run you through whatever you need to know about it. It's fun to be back there because you're in control, right, Estelle? And you can turn me off anytime I start talking about you. So, thank you. Worship committee will meet this Tuesday at 6:45. I think that's still right. Is that right, Lisa? Yep. 6:45 at church here. So, worship committee, please come together. And we'll talk about worship. We have a praise night coming up. And we have our Easter, Good Friday service as well. And lots of things going on. Our outreach committee is looking for people to sign up to take a week of meal delivery for Meals on Wheels, the program that we have in Lancaster. Meals are picked up on Monday through Friday at Roxy's at 11:30 and delivered to 8 to 10 people in Lancaster. And if you would like to help out with that, please let us know. We would love to have you help, and let us know so that we can get things set up for that. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, I think. If not, I will make sure there is. Also, please check out the sign-up sheet in the foyer for Women's Ministry Sunday. That is February 25th, and there is a meal following that service. Ida is traveling. Bruce just got back from the Holy Land, and Ida's there now. It'll never be the same over there. But Bruce said it was quite an amazing time. But please sign up for that, and talk to Ida if you'd like to help out with that service in any way. Also, Blue Water Annual Meeting, that is at Blue Water Bible Camp on Sunday, the same Sunday, February 25th, with the church service following, or church service at 11 and followed by lunch after that. Any other announcements this morning? Lisa? You sure can.
Okay, the worship service that we're doing this time around is going to focus on praise and worship. And of course, we would love to have people who would be willing to get up and share their testimony. And we'd really like to focus on answered prayer. And if you have got answered prayer from recently, the past year, whatever, if you would like to share that, let one of us on the worship committee know, Galen, myself, Jordan, John, Jackie, or Nikki. Or if you would be willing to write it down and one of us could read it for you if you don't feel comfortable getting up, we would like to really have that be a big part of the service. So if you have anything, please let us know.
Thank you, Lisa. Julie. In the foyer?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a sign-up sheet for serving soup and sandwiches over at the Lutheran Church. In the foyer, we start when again? The 20?
The next week after this.
This is the first week. Yeah, the 14th, so it'll be the 21st. So soup and sandwiches. So if you'd like to sign up, please check that out and help us out as we serve that. And that's for 3 weeks we serve. Is that right?
Yeah, 3 in a row. And you will be doing the serving, but we need help with some of the products.
Okay. So we need help with food and as well as serving, what the youth will be serving. If you have any questions, talk to Julie. Anything else? Hope. Okay, thank you. Okay, so Snacks for Good News, we'll have a sign-up sheet out in the foyer as well for that too. Thank you, Hope. It's wonderful. There's a lot going on. Anything else this morning? No, Sue, would you come up and do prayer and scripture?
Okay, scripture today is from 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Hey, do we have prayer requests? Julie. Anybody else? Faye? Oh, okay. Eric. Yep. Didn't they go to Rochester last week? Or okay. Lisa. Oh, you know his first name? No? I saw another hand there. Christy? And his first name was? I didn't hear it.
Darren?
Thank you. Peggy?
Yes, Kathy called and asked if we'd please be praying for Kenny. Kenny and Kathy have gone down to Texas to see some friends of his from Vietnam. And then he ended up having to have surgery and blockage in both legs, really, really bad blockage. But he has a big open sore wound down his heel. He is a diabetic, so it's really quite dangerous.
Do you know how long before they come home?
April 1st, they're supposed to come home.
Oh, my. Yep. I wish he'd show up one Sunday when I'm here. It'd be a celebration. Okay, let's go to, oh, sorry. Yes. Are they close here? I mean, this family? Okay. Oh, that's a praise item for sure. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very, very thankful that we live in a country where we can bring these requests before you. You answer each and every one in your own way, and we're so thankful that we can always count on you. We pray for Ashley as these three little kids have been in her care now for several months, and we just know it must be hard to give them up and know that they're going back into their past environment, and we just pray that things have changed at home and that they will be safe and happy and well cared for. And we pray for Ashley as she now has an empty house, and it's really going to seem terribly empty with three little kids gone. So we just pray that she's able to adjust to this. I'm sure it won't be long before more children will be entering her life, but we just are so thankful that she was able to take care of these wonderful little kids. We pray for Carl and his family with Heidi's death, and she suffered for a long time, and we're just thankful that she's gone home and her suffering is over, and we just pray that loved ones and friends can now support Carl and his family during this loss of Heidi. We pray for Noah and Ruby, Reuben and other young people that were friends of this teen that died of cancer. And, you know, we just, it's hard to wrap our minds around losing anybody, but when it's such a young person, that's really, really hard. And so we just pray that there is a support system for them, that they will have loved ones and friends that can support them during this time of loss. We pray for Zoe, who's here now, and we just pray that something will open up for him where he will be able to continue getting the help and support that he needs. We pray for the Cole family. They're still in Rochester, and they have an appointment tomorrow. We pray that they will be able to find out what is wrong and come up with a treatment and know how to treat this, and so that there's good health and happiness with this. We pray for Deanne Westerberg's son, who has open heart surgery tomorrow. We just pray that the doctors have the skill and the knowledge to do what has to be done, and we pray that his recuperation time will be short and that he will feel so much better once this condition is corrected. We pray for Darren, who has this lump or spot on his spine, and we just pray that if this is removed, that it comes back cancer-free. It's difficult to have something like this when you're in a country that perhaps doesn't have the knowledge or the equipment that we do. So we just pray that this comes back non-malignant and that he will be fine. We pray for Sarah, who is ongoing battle with headaches and nausea and all these things to make life so miserable. And we just pray that there would be a doctor that could help her with this, or that they could come up with some type of a treatment that would help her through this. We pray for Kenny Hunter with this situation with his legs, and we're thankful that the surgery was done and that the circulation has returned, and we just pray that now everything will heal properly. With diabetes in the picture, sometimes that gets to be really a challenge, so we just pray that as they travel and he's at his daughter's now, that the wound clinic will be able to watch everything that's going on and make sure that things heal properly. And we pray for Jack Thompson, who is getting better and stronger day by day, and we're so very thankful for that. And we just pray that one day very soon we will be able to have him here with us. And we pray for little Rosie, who now has a family that's here that is in the process of adopting her, and that's such an answer to prayer. And we just pray that this system that is so backwards, for lack of a better word, over there, when you want to adopt a child, it seems like there's so many bells and whistles and hoops to jump through, and we just are so thankful that things are progressing quickly with her, and we just pray that she will be with this family very, very soon. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, and we thank you for everything that you've blessed all of us with. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Sue. As you know, we had new members Sunday. We had Matt and Jackie and Mark and Nikki and Ray and Catrice, and today we're going to welcome Evan and Savannah. They didn't tell them that, but let's just give them a hand, please. Awesome. Thank you. And when Jack Thompson shows up, we're going to celebrate again. And Jack, I think he gets these. Does he get these recordings, Linda? Hi, Jack. I know you're going to get me when you get back. That's good. We're going to have an offering time, and Savannah, if you'd come up and do special music for us. I think Jackie, too, is going to play. Okay, and ushers, if you could come forward for the offering this morning. And I believe our offering for the kids is still going towards a goat, is that right? We're raising money for 10 goats, and we've got at least 4 already, so we're doing really well, so. And a goat is a big deal for where we're buying these goats for. It means life to a family, so. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for today. Just guide us, we pray, as we give, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, to walk with the faith that you give us, and give us strength, God, to worship you today and to live lives that are pleasing to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are for always. Thank you, Savannah and Jackie. Beautiful. If the praise team could come up, we will continue our time of worship. Please stand, and we will continue with Mighty to Save. What a faithful God we serve. The amazing love of God.
This is one of my favorite praise songs.
This is, too. It's one of my favorite, too. Sing it out, please. Let's worship together.
Everyone needs forgiveness. just thank you so much for this day you've given us that we can be here to worship you, Lord. We just pray that you'll come into our hearts and live in us, Lord, and help us to live for you. Just be with Galen as he speaks your word, Lord, and open our hearts and just help us to just continually know that you are there for us, Lord. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. In nursery, kids, preschool and under, you're sure excused to head down to nursery. They will have activities for you. Well, today we are in part 5 of our sermon series on how great is the love of God, and it is a question. There's been a lot of activity going on, definitely in a lot of our lives. I can only relate to mine because that's the life I have, and that's what I've been given. And when I think of our niece Heidi's passing, I know that my plan was not to be here this weekend because we're going to go see Ashley. That plan may have changed. I don't know, but I won't be here this weekend. But we will have Rock Bakken will be speaking, and so please come. I know there's youth that are traveling for the ski trip, and I will finish out the sermon series actually not the next weekend, because the next weekend or Sunday is Women's Ministry. So it'll be the one after that we will close our sermon series on how great is the love of God. As I was reading and preparing for this message, I thought of Francis Chan's book about a crazy love, and he talked about at the end of the book, he brings up about all his travels to India, and he talked about how there really are no nominal Christians, as you call it, people that are not all in Christ. In India, you're either in or you're out, and there's a good reason for it. If you call yourself a Christian in India, your life is in danger. He talked to so many people who were either tortured for their faith, or they watched loved ones die. They watched them die for their faith. He said, you either profess to be Christian or you don't even talk about it. I think of that and I think, I wish we were more that way in the U.S. Sometimes it's so easy to live this Christian life with one foot in both worlds. And we're not committed to the life that we are called, and we don't even seek God. We don't desire a hunger for his word, and I think that is so wrong. Where's Christianity today in the U.S.? Are you all in or are you not? Do you love God with all your heart as he calls us to? Or don't you? There is no middle road when you're called to serve Jesus Christ. You are either in or you are out. And then he says, I want you to love your neighbor in that same way. So how do we live this life? How do we lavish God's love on other people the way he lavished it on us? And that is what I'm hoping that we can continue to look at in the questions that we ask ourselves. Are we living our lives the way God wants us to? That we can look long and hard at that, each individually, each personally, because that's what your relationship is like. The big question that we are going to answer today is, how great is God's love really? And how are we going to live it out? And today's scripture talks about how awesome and amazing and how forgiving and unconditional God's love is. And as Savannah sang this morning, our God is awesome. And he is there for us, and his love is incredible. So what are we going to do with it? He gives it to us, he bestows it on us, he lavishes it on us. So what do we do with it? Because I think if we really got that, we could not love our neighbor in that way. So I'd like to begin by turning to some of these scriptures. And the first scripture that we're going to look at answers two questions. It's, what's God's love like? What is God's love like? And the other one is, what should our love look like? And Sue read it. The first one is 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. That's it. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You hear that love comparison there? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Now 1 John 3:16 tells us, this is how we know what God's love is like. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He was all in. He was committed. And he finished well. So if you want to know what God's love is really like, I'd say look at Jesus. Look at his life. Out of total obedience, Jesus laid down his life for us. Then when you think about your sinfulness and your selfishness and your brokenness, as I think of mine, I think it's important to think about the cross. And think how Jesus surrendered his will to do his Father's will. And I think here, Jesus lived a perfect life. And yet Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives on our next slide, Luke 22:42. These are the words of Jesus. He says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup from me. This is Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, asking his Father, if there's any other way, take it from me. And yet Jesus says, yet not my will, Father, but yours be done. Total obedience to do the will of his Father. So my question to you then, if we are going to have this kind of love, which we are called to have, are you at that place in your life where you are willing to totally surrender to him? Are you at that place in your life where you are ready to say, not my will, but your will be done in my life, Father? If you want to know what total surrender looks like, it's pretty simple. Scripture gives it to us. It's the life of Jesus Christ. What should our love look like? It should look like Jesus Christ. How should we love? We should love like Jesus Christ, totally committed to do the will of his Father. The problem is that sometimes we don't really want to love like that, do we? We are happy and we're totally thrilled with accepting God's love for us. That's easy. Say, yes, I'm a sinner. I get that. I fall short of the glory of God. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I am so grateful that he loved me so much that he came to die for us while we were still sinners. But we often find ourselves wanting to love others a lot less than that. It's easy to love someone partway or to do just something good for someone one day and then walk by them the next day. God doesn't tell us to love people just a little. He tells us to love like my son Jesus loved you. God says, if you want to love like me, then you got to love like my son. You must be all in, God says, totally surrendering your will, surrendering yourself to the love that he calls you to. And if you do, you will not only love your neighbor in the right way, but you will do out of obedience, you'll be doing the will of the Father. And anything short of that should feel wrong. And if laying your life down for your brother isn't enough, as we hear in Scripture, Jesus laid his life down, that's what his love is like, so then we should be doing that, lay our life down, be willing to die for them. Sometimes when I think of that, I think that almost sounds easier than what he tells us to do next. Because this is an extended thing. This is something that happens throughout our lives. 1 John 3:17. First, he tells us that Jesus' love is like he died for us and he gave everything. And now we have to live like this. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And now maybe you're saying to God, okay, I get it. I could lay my life down. But now you say I have to share my stuff too? Maybe that sounds silly, but it's really not that silly. Because sometimes sharing our stuff in an all-in sacrificial way is pretty uncomfortable. Sometimes you might think, yeah, but I work so hard. I have worked so hard to get where I am today. And you tell me that I need to willingly share completely, all in, just like your son Jesus Christ did. And you want me to have pity on my brother. But you know, that's exactly what God calls us to. How do we live this life, lavishing God's love on those around us who are in need? How can we encourage them? John goes even so far to say next, he says, how can you even be a Christian? These are some pretty hard words. How can you even be a Christian if you don't have pity on your brother in need? In other words, if you don't do something to help him, how can you even call yourself a Christian? But isn't that what John's saying? If anyone, speaking of us, if any one of you has material possessions or has the means to give, in other words, as I see it, sees his brother in need and doesn't do something to stop and meet that need, how can the love of God even be in us? These are some pretty sobering, hard questions. You thought 1 John 3:16 and 17 sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it's like the Word of God. When it says it's a double-edged sword and it cuts, this cuts. This hurts because sometimes we may see a brother in need and think he doesn't deserve the help. He's got himself into this situation. Let me tell you, that is the time when we better be lavishing God's love in an incredibly deep way, one that stretches us and encourages the ones that need that help. As I said, John doesn't stop there with just sharing. He goes on to drive his point home of truth, and he says that in verse 18. He says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue or speech. Let's do something about it. Let's do it with action and in truth. In other words, John says, don't just talk about the love of God. You've got to live it out. If God is truly in you, then you need to be living it out. You must live it out. It's not an option. Do something with this love that you've been given. This love is meant to be shared, and not just with words, John says, but in action and in truth. And now listen to what James, the brother of Jesus, says. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? How can faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is, let's say it together, dead. There's no life there. It didn't say that you're still a little bit alive. It says your faith is dead. It's as if you have no faith at all. Pretty strong language from James, the brother of Jesus, and from John, who described himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. It says, James says, your faith isn't even there. It's gone. It's not even there. It's dead. What I see in this truth of God's word, because we are to speak in truth, is that if you are a Christian, you will see the fruit of God's love in the action that is in your life. It will become real. It will become evident, and people will look at you and say there's something that is different about them, and they might think that you're weird, and that's okay. But we are not called to love just a little. We're not called to love just part way. When it's convenient or when it doesn't hurt, we are to love all in, like Jesus did. God calls us to obedience like Jesus, and he calls us to be faithful like Jesus. He calls us to love like Jesus, and he calls us to lavish his love on our neighbors like Jesus. To lavish God's love on someone is to extravagantly, when it doesn't make any sense, when the world will look at you and call you a fool, and you pour out blessings on someone that really needs the help. A group of young businessmen, I have a story, and I know that some of you know this, but I'm going to share it for those that maybe haven't heard it. A group of young businessmen were late for a plane, and they were rushing through the airport when they bumped into a young blind girl who was selling apples for waiting passengers. They'd got on the plane just in time when the entrance of the plane went to the entrance of the plane when one of them, a Christian, felt terrible about what had just happened. They had knocked the young girl over, and her apples were everywhere. And he told his friends, he said, "I have to go back. I'll catch the next flight. You go on." And they said, "You're crazy. You're going to miss the plane." They protested, but he had been so moved by their selfishness as well as his own, there's no way he could have gotten on that plane. So when he got back to the terminal, there was the girl, the blind girl, trying desperately to gather her apples, searching all over the floor. And the young Christian businessman knelt down and he told the girl that he was sorry for what he had done. And he got on his hands and knees and he began to pick up apples. When he had completely picked up all the apples, he took out his wallet and he paid the young girl for the ones that had been bruised. And he said, "I am sorry for what we did to you." And he turned away when the young girl asked a question that he will never forget. And she said, "Mister, are you Jesus?" Now, no one will probably ask you that question. No one will ask me that question, but wouldn't it be awesome if someone asked you by your actions, "Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ?" As in the book, there's a difference between being a fan and a follower of Jesus Christ. When you ask yourself that question, how will people know me? Will they know me by my actions, who I belong to? Or will they look at you and say, "You're not a whole lot different than the rest of the world"? So my question then that I want to leave you with today is, do people know you are a Christian, a child of God, by how you live and by how you work, and not just by how you speak? But they will know you're a Christian by how you love. So when you ask yourself that question, remember the words of Jesus in John 15:13. "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." So is the way you live your life a reflection of Jesus Christ and his life? Are you all in this love that we are called to with Jesus? And are you willing to step into the next adventure? Because God has adventures planned for you. He says, "I have work prepared for you to do." Are you willing to step into that? Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads you? And let me tell you, if you are willing, there will be times that will be pretty uncomfortable. And there will be times that you may be called strange, or you may be called weird. You might even be called intolerant. But we are called to speak the truth in love and to be faithful, no matter what the cost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to this love, Lord. We thank you, first of all, for the love that you have for us, Lord. We can't understand it, and yet you promise us that it is there and it is present, and you showed that by the actions of your Son who gave his life for us. Father, you call us to love just like that. To those around us, help us to be willing, help us to be ready, help us to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have in you. It is because of you, Jesus Christ. It is because of you, Father, and your faithfulness to us. It is because of the Holy Spirit who lives inside us that we could even hope to live a life that would be pleasing to you, Lord. So, Father, we come before you today, and I pray, God, for everyone here, that you would bring us to that place where we would surrender completely, that we would surrender all to you and live a life of lavishly loving our neighbors, of bestowing your love on them. Father, in hopes that they would come to know you, we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Would you please stand and join us? We will close by singing I Surrender All, hymn number 316, I Surrender All.
Sorry.
Sing it like you are surrendering all, please. What key are we doing this in? D, okay? Hymn number 316. D. Yep. Thank you for today, God, and we thank you for your incredible, amazing love for us. God, help us to live out that love the way you call us to, holy for you, God, to bring the message of the world to the world, God, of your amazing love that is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.